Chapter 1, Terra Nullius of the Mind. Australia remains an oddly amorphous idea. What idea? Some ask. No idea, others respond. The continent is solid, physically distinctive and vast, but the idea of its essence, what it might be, has been contested ever since British ships first rose like a cloud out of the sea. The definition of a nation that is more than a place is still a work in progress, denied by those who consider it the settler state, known as Australia, but celebrated by those whose lives have been transformed by a life in a relatively safe, rich and ordered society. The paradox is that Australia is both solid and provisional, an island continent with thin soils, underground seas, rainforests, deserts, serpentine rivers, endless beaches and minerals accreted over millions of years. A derivative nation ready to absorb and transform ideas carried on the wind like migratory birds from afar. A place where forgetting is essential, making a mockery of the most celebrated epigram, lest we forget. Best we forget would be more honest. Describing Australia's defining nature beyond the physical, her spirit, her essence, rarely gets beyond worthy but anodyne statements of universal values, pride in democratic institutions, and boastful backslapping about being the most successful multicultural nation in the world. It's taken a long time for the inconvenient truth to penetrate that for all the many and real achievements of the past two centuries, Australia is only truly unique as home for 65 millennia to the world's oldest continuing civilization. The numbers drip off the pen, but the reality of what they mean, of how people lived, survived and thrived, forces a pause. Until that truth is fully embraced, the paradox will prevail, erode the soul of the nation and leave Australia half-formed. For nearly 250 years, waves of new arrivals have landed, their minds packed with expectations shaped by images absorbed elsewhere. Even before the 11 ships in the First Fleet edged their way through Sydney Harbour's towering sandstone gateposts in 1788, ideas of Australia had taken root in other hemispheres. For millennia, philosophers, explorers, artists and novelists had conjured a great Southland. For those who had always been here, the place and its spirit did not need conjuring. It was real, living and rich with meaning. Relocation to the other side of the globe was and often still is traumatic and grueling. It is scarcely surprising that the journey, the bureaucratic hurdles it demands and its settlement legacy often dent curiosity about what came before. Instead, those setting foot on the vast, mysteriously inviting continent project new visions and dreams. These notions have, over the centuries, taken different forms. Prison, frontier, colony, model society, experiment, deputy sheriff, utopia, wasteland. Or, prosaically and with a sigh of relief, a country that works most of the time. New arrivals squint into the fierce sun to better focus their dreams and imagine a future. Those dreams are generally personal, sometimes opportunistic, and often relieved. But they are seldom informed by knowledge of what came before, whether 10, 50, 200, or heaven forbid, 65,000 years ago. By rarely going back to first principles and examining the past, a terra nullius of the mind has prevailed. Unchallenged tendrils of memory are easily twisted to gird myths. For English speakers who have a nodding acquaintance with other places touched by the British Empire, Australia seems reassuringly recognisable, with familiar institutions, language and place names, and the detritus of global popular culture. But even the most privileged stumble on the invisible tripwires beneath the surface. Networks, history, custom, class and race make the seemingly familiar more complicated, at times confounding. Change, ambition and doing things differently are surprisingly hard in a place that is at once cosmopolitan and provincially deferential, young and ancient, in Asia but not of it, without much history yet brimming with it. Generations of settlers, old and new, have generally preferred to think of Australia, literally and figuratively, as a blank slate on which their dreams could be etched. As the Sydney journalist Gavin Souter once observed, the child of 1788 is no father to the man of today. Writing about his city in 1965, he found the echoes of the past too faint to hear, sensing that they had been shouted down by the present. This was plausible as the bustle of post-war growth obliterated the sandstone buildings of another era to make way for shimmering modernist towers of steel, concrete and glass. Entire inner city neighbourhoods were bulldozed and their poor residents moved to new distant suburbs. The complacency of British provincial life in the Southern Hemisphere was unsettled by the arrival of millions of unconvincingly assimilated new Australians. Still, the elegant stylist wondered if the past still frets our subconscious like a wind at the door. But does it really? Gavin Souter asked. At the time, he thought not. More than half a century on, the answer is yes. Forgetting is not as easy or as shamefully essential as it once was. Close study has revealed much more about the place, her people and mores that gives reason to fret. The knowledge that trauma, like privilege, passes across generations forces a profound recalibration. This may not matter much in the ebb and flow of daily life, although the appearance of First Nations place names in public spaces and the explosion of interest in family history suggests the tide is turning. Curiosity about things unspoken demands attention. Hidden tales emerge from chance encounters and the records of lives that have been stripped by time and digitisation of the fear and shame that once enveloped them. Even those intrigued by the words and stories that add a lot, and sometimes confound, are so busily juggling the demands of family, work and essay that they have little time to reflect on how these twigs of the past lit a big picture public sense-making. That is left to those who seem to have the most to gain, leaders who prefer to burnish the surface. For all the millions of dollars spent on national branding campaigns, co-opting even Aboriginal mythology and superstars, it has proved impossible to come up with a defining idea beyond the banal clichés and the mythic half-truths that were once sufficient, brash, relaxed, sunburnt, vast, ancient, practical. And a joyously sentimental song that says simply, "We are one."